Welcome to the Choose Optimism podcast, a podcast focused on letting you know of the great things optimists are doing in your community. We are in our second series focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family. And at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce my friend from the other side of the 49th parallel, who I got to meet in the Reno convention that we had, where I did Leadership Academy, is the one and only Marlene Phillips. Marlene, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Shane. This is going to be a fun thing to do.
Yes, we've been having a lot of fun with these podcasts. And like I said, we're focused on fundraising this episodes. But first, one of the things we talk about, Marlene, what is your optimist story? Tell us a little bit how you got started to be an optimist in your club. And then, you know, the stuff that you've gone through the international ranks.
Well, it's interesting because when I first started looking at doing something to give back to my community, in my get paid for job, I worked with about 67 other different not-for-profits and service clubs. And I looked at them all and I felt that Optimist was probably the best fit for me because my kids were included in all of the functions that we did. By nature of the beast, and going out for dinner once a month was something that I could do and not feel like I was stealing time from my kids. Since then, I've been, many positions in my club. I've been president. I've been a lieutenant governor. I've been governor of the Great Southwest Ontario District. I've served on the international board for two different terms, which no one else can ever do. And I love this organization. You know, I joined in 1994, and so I've been around for a couple of days.
So have you been a member of Riverside the whole time since 1994?
I have. Actually, cute story. Way back in those days, club roster adjustments were done by paper copy only. So you couldn't really go on and online and see who was on someone's roster. And our club treasurer at that time didn't see the need to add the names all the time. And then I got elected president and they couldn't send me anything because I wasn't on the roster. So it's kind of a cute story. But, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. Thank goodness.
Kind of nice. We have the technology now to just plug it in online and it's there right then and there.
Absolutely. And that's an adventure we started in 2003. So, you know, we're getting there.
Come a long way, slowly but surely. Well, one of the things on the podcast is that, you know, we're getting the word out about Optimist. We're focusing on fundraising this time. Tell us a little bit about the fundraiser you have, and it's a Euchre tournament, which I'm not familiar with. But tell us a little bit about what that is and how that got started.
Well, we had a club in, would have been about 2000, the year 2000. That was in trouble with their general account. And so we said, okay, we got to do something to make this happen. And so up here, one of the card games that we play a lot, university students play it in the all the time at school. It's just a game that we play. And we decided to do a tournament. And it's really easy because you don't have to come in with a partner. You don't have to come in with anything. You come in on your own and you assign, people get assigned to play the game. And it's a pretty simple card game. And so we serve a light lunch in the middle. So club members will, you know, somebody will, I'll bring the bread. I'll bring the lunch meats. And so we play five games, take a break. Everybody just kind of mixes and mingles, go back, play the last five games. And then we just kind of do up all of the scores. Now, Euchre is a game that it's a card game. It's played, trying to describe it is kind of difficult, but it's, you know, you have five cards in your hand, you bid to see, or you decide whether or not you've got enough to be able to make Trump go through or not. And you just, you bet on, you play the game as if you get points or you win points, and you keep track of the points that you've won. And we just kind of go, we froze. So Euchre is a card game that we play primarily in the Midwest of North America. And it's where you play rounds of five tricks each, and whoever gets the most number of tricks ends up taking some points. You keep track of the points per game, and then the winner, the person that's accumulated the most amount of points at the end of the tournament, is the winner, and the second and third, or however many places you'd like to award. Now, the neat thing about this is the format, it can stay the same, but you can substitute any number of games. You can play pinochle, you could use cribbage, you could use any kind of game where points are accumulated. Actually saw someone try to did it with spade, the game spades, and with spades it's the lowest points win. So it's a neat kind of game, and any place where you accumulate points or you can award points, you can use to do this. And we have everyone show up around 7 o'clock our time, and they get assigned to a table. They play. After we've played through eight or through five rounds, we have a light lunch that our club members have put together. And once we've finished that, we go back to play. And we have some door prizes. Everyone that comes in the door gets a ticket for a door prize at the end. And, those are not big deals. We keep them around $10, $15 each. And it's just kind of a nice, fun night out. But the best part was when we started doing this, 20 years ago, the people who were attending, who were not necessarily Optimus members, were asking us to do it more often. And so that led to us sharing it. We have four different Optimus clubs up here who all run Euchre. We coordinate our schedule so that we're not doing it on the same night. We share around the information at all of our tournaments for all of the other tournaments. And it's really kind of neat because we're not necessarily digging into the pockets of Optimus members as most of our fundraisers do. So it's general people, and it really kind of works out nice. We generally earn somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,200 to $1,300 an evening. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, because you never know how many people are going to show up. You have to have three club members ready to be either in or out for play, because tables are made up of four players each. We have some people that don't play euchre, don't want to play euchre, but they help make sure that the food tables are set up properly, and that safe food handling is observed, because we certainly wouldn't want anyone to get ill. And we have a good time with it.
So tell us a little bit about what people do when they show up. Do they sign in, pay a fee to play? Do you have a silent auction? What are some of the stuff that you guys do to get ready for this, to have the tournament on that day?
Okay, so what we do in advance is we make sure that we promote it, that we're going to be doing it. We have to have the scorecards available, which as every person that arrives is assigned a scorecard with their name and the table number that they're going to. We charge $25 per person. There are some clubs that are still charging $20 a person, and that depends on how much you have to pay in rent for the facility that you're in. So you have to find a place that you can do this at that has the right kind of tables, so that you can have a table set up for four people to comfortably sit at and not have to stand up and reach every time they have to grab cards or once cards are played in the middle of the table. We sell 50-50, and because it's a closed event with the licensing is fairly cheap, and that normally makes us about $300. People come knowing that they're going to be spending money, and it's a fun night out. And the comment that we get most often is, where else can you go for a night out for $25 where you have fun, meet some new people, have a little something to eat, and not have to worry about who's around you? So those are the kinds of things that that our people are happy about, and they keep coming back, so it must be working.
So how many of these do you guys hold on average? Once a week, once a month? What are some of the things that you guys are doing to keep this going on a daily basis?
Each club is running one a month. Riverside Optimist Club has the first Saturday of the month. The Forest Glade Optimist Club is running as well. The MS Community Optimist Club is running. South Windsor Optimist Club is running. So we all kind of have, the day of the month that's going to be ours. And as I said, the neat thing is, once you have it set up and you've got the score sheets printed and done, and it takes, half an hour to set up all of the tables, that's pretty much the prep work. So it gets easier and cleaner every time we do one to get it done and off the ground. And I like particularly that the money isn't coming from Optimus pockets.
And how many people do you have on average attend to something like this?
Each club has an average number of tables. Riverside averages 28 tables, which is over 100 people. It's actually 112 people playing, and we normally have about 10 club members that are, either doing the scoring, keeping, running things back and forth if somebody needs something, making sure that the food is set up and cleaned up. So it's, you know, it brings the members in as well, to gives them something to do that's not high stress, and the money's good.
And where are you holding these? Like, are they at like a community hall, a restaurant in town that, or something, or a tap house, or what are some of the places that you guys hold these events at?
I'm going to say yes, because we use all of those types of things. The Riverside Optimist Club runs in a, we have a business here in Windsor that is very, very good to us. And it's a restaurant called Average Joe's. And they have a community room, or a like a banquet hall at the back. We use their banquet hall. One of the other clubs, the South Windsor Club, runs at a tap house. The Forest Glade Club runs at the community center in Forest Glade. So the MS, actually, MS community actually runs in a funeral home. They have members that are related to the people that have the funeral home, and that's where they run. So all of us just found a place that works best for us.
That's a pretty interesting place to hold a fundraiser in a funeral home. Usually those are the places of sorrow and sadness.
There's an awful lot of laughter when we're there. At one point in time, the Riverside Club was also running out of a funeral home. And the rooms that they have set up for the families to gather are the rooms that we used, and most, and they were decommissioned funeral homes. There were no visitations or anything going on, but they're very nice. They're comfortable. No one ever said they got bothered by any of the previous guests. So it's just, it's, you know, and we have, after you get over it, we did have some people who would not go when it's in a funeral home. And that's unfortunate, but yeah, not sad, but lots of laughter.
Well, speaking of previous guests and laughter, we're going to take a short break, Marlene, and we're going to have a commercial break for our sponsor, Optimist International, talking about the upcoming convention in June. So we'll be right back with this podcast interview. Hey, Optimist, what are you doing June 22nd through the 26th of 2024? Come hang out with us in Niagara Falls for the 106th Optimist International Convention. A chance to hear motivational speakers, attend workshops, and meet and socialize with other optimists from all over Optimist International. Did you know that the first club of Toronto was the first club to be chartered outside of the United States in 1924? So that means we're celebrating 100 years of optimism in Canada this year. So register your for the convention today to have a great time and learn and meet amazing people from all over the world. And we're back talking to Marlene about the Euchre tournament. So we were talking about where you were holding this, and one of the event halls that we do. What are some of the setup processes and like setting up the fees for people to play? So you said they pay $25. What does that fee help cover besides the event renting of the event hall rental?
Well, we take the 25 and we allocate roughly $5 a person for the food that we're going to serve them. $8 goes into the prize fund. We spend about $400 for rent for our facility, and then the difference goes to the club's general account. So it all works out pretty well for us.
And people are using this money. When you use the prize money, you award like a first, second, third for the most points accumulated between like 10 games or something like that.
Yeah, correct. And actually, we have a sliding scale. If we have 16 tables or less, we do a first, second, and third. If we have more than that, like when we're running 28 tables, we do five prizes, the top five. And that's just to spread the money out a little bit, and allow, because we take, there's 112 players, we do $8 per player into the prize pool, and then we allocate it. You know, I'm a math, I do math, so that's what I do. It's, if we're doing five places, we add up numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you get 15. So you take the total prize money divided by 15, and the fifth place gets 1/15. Second place gets 2/15. Third gets 3, so that the top gets 4/15. So that's an easy way to allocate the money and to keep it fair, and evenly divided. And we round it, of course, to the nearest $5, because it's too hard to deal with anything other than that.
And if you're doing about $1,200 a month, that's almost $12,000 a year that your Optimist Co-op can raise without a lot of effort put into it.
Absolutely. And the thing that I like about it the most is that it's general fund money. Our club runs sweat equity, and that's one of the ways that we generate money for our general to do the sweat equity program. You know, there's sweat equity is another thing that There's discussions about across our organization, and I'm a firm believer in it. I always have said that someone's time is always more valuable to me than their money, and I'll always find a way to get the money. And this one, the neat thing was when we tried to take breaks from doing it, like let's not do it during the summer, because up here in Canada, it's not unusual for clubs to go on hiatus during the summer. And the people that were putting their money out were saying, well, can't you just do one? Can't you do another one? So, and because they're so easy for us to put together, we end up doing, two of them during the summertime. And so we end up with another, $2,000 in our bank account for not a whole lot of effort. And it gave us a touch point with the rest of the club members. So we didn't have that 2 months without any contact.
Well, and people should listen to the people that are asking you to put stuff on, because if they're going to fund it, you might as well put it on, right?
Absolutely. And it was, it's, I find a super rare event when the people who are putting the money out are saying, can't you do this more? Usually it's, oh, you're back again for more money. And it's definitely not like that with this. And it's kind of cool.
Now, speaking of people like wanting to be part of this, then it's a social event after, we have the, eating of the meals and the, the camaraderie of playing, the card game together. Have you guys benefited by getting any members from these tournaments?
We absolutely have. One of the things that we do at every event that's every event we do, whether it's a youth program or whether it's a fundraiser, is we always have flyers available with information about who we are and what we do. And at this euchre tournament, we always take a couple of minutes to explain who we are and the kinds of things we do. The side effects of that have been that we have recruited several members into our club. Because they appreciated the things that we do. We also get donations when we're not expecting it from members who are just really happy that we're doing the kinds of things we do. We did a project called Sleep in Heavenly Peace, which is another thing altogether. But one of our club members, we were collecting bedding for this organization after we had done a bed build, and one of the people in the room actually had a family member who had benefited from Sleep in Heavenly Peace. She was so thrilled that she came up and gave us a $100 donation to be able to forward on. So there's been, it's provided other people the opportunity to become involved. And we have some people that only work the euchres. There are some who, because they're so involved in that, have become involved in other things that we do in the club. So we never stop recruiting, and every event that we do, we have flyers, we have at least a couple of minutes explanation about who we are and what we do and how welcome we would be to have them with us.
Talk about going around, coming around. You have somebody that benefited from your direct contribution to them, and then they turned around and did that for somebody else as well. So, like I said, people don't realize how much impact an Optimist Club can have in their community.
Oh wow. Interesting thing. Our mayor, our city is, just over 200,000. And our mayor and his administrative staff have said, if you need something, just call the Optimists. And to me, that there couldn't have been a better pat on the back for us. And that's not just our club. We have several clubs in Windsor, and all of them are step up kind of clubs. Like, you need something, they'll find a way to make it happen. And we have parks, we have tennis courts, we have baseball diamonds, we have programs being run for kids in community centers, all kinds of things that are funded by our Optimist clubs here in Windsor. And we need to be proud of that. But to have the mayor's office say, if you need something, call one of the Optimist clubs, that's cool.
I think that's a huge, huge volume, speaks huge volumes to what the Optimist Club can do in your community.
Yeah, we have an interesting thing here, because in Windsor, with a population of 200,000, we have, I think, eight Optimist clubs. And I've been in places where they say, well, that's too many, or why would you build another one? And for me, that's because every club has its own personality. Every club has things that they will get involved in and things that they won't get involved in. And I don't understand why we can't just recognize that I can be really, really good or my club can be really good at doing one particular type of thing, and another club can be really good at doing something else. And together, we make optimists look better, first, and secondly, bring benefit to our community. And it, to me, it doesn't matter which one of us is doing it, as long as the job gets done.
And that just goes to show you how much we need optimism in our communities to make our communities that much better. So, Marlene, I just want to thank you for taking the time to share your fundraiser. And hopefully there's a club out there that will jump on this that maybe are struggling and just need a quick, idea to do something different. And we just appreciate you taking the time to share this with the Optimist community here on the Optimist Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Choose Optimism Podcast. This series is focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family. We are hoping to inspire other clubs to pick up new fundraisers and new ideas to take back to their clubs and improve their communities in better ways. If you are interested in becoming an Optimist, please find us on optimist.org, or better yet, reach out to a local Optimist club in your community.